Many native songs and ceremonies are sacred. Many of them were given as gifts from the spirit powers, from the mountains, the rivers, what Lewis and Clark may have seen as empty wilderness. In Sacred Landscapes, Judy Bluehearse Skelton explores native perspectives on the land and water, plants and animals that Lewis and Clark encountered along their journey.
When Lewis and Clark set out in search of the fabled Northwest Passage, the United States was not yet 30 years old. Their travels west into what Thomas Jefferson called the wilderness would take them through rivers, prairies, mountains, and meadows, and finally to the great water, the Pacific Ocean. The people they met, representing over 50 different Native American tribes, had called this land home for thousands of years. They knew the plants, animals, rivers, and mountains intimately. Their tribal stories and oral histories told of their significance to the people and the roles they played in creating a good life. Customs and ceremonies honored the abundant gifts of the plants and animals, as well as the mountains, waterfalls, lakes, and springs. All were revered for their sacredness. These beliefs and practices reflected the respectful understanding of what was needed to maintain balanced relations between humans and nature. The natural world was not a separate world from humans. Tribal languages had no word for wilderness. A unifying theme for these diverse Native communities was the importance of balancing and respecting nature, the natural world, all of creation. It's what kept this land so pristine and healthy for thousands of years prior to European contact. Good relationships had sustained the people, Native people, since the beginning of time. Water. Water is a recurring feature in the Lewis and Clark story. For Lewis and Clark, the waterways represented a means to an end. A Northwest Passage would increase commerce and trade, particularly in the fur trade. For Native people, water is sacred, not only because we need it to live, but because of its healing power, its capacity to purify and cleanse. Your first herb, your very first medicine, is water. It purifies on the emotional and spiritual level, as well as the physical. It clears toxins from the body and refreshes the spirit. In many tribal traditions, we go to water for many blessing ceremonies. Go to water for new baby. Go to water for coming of age, initiation to womanhood or manhood. Go to water for an anniversary, after a loss, for forgiveness, and ultimately for transformation. In most cultures of the world, when we go back far enough in time, we find the people in their communities acknowledged similar relationships with the sacredness of water. This is still carried on today with many religious and spiritual practices around the world. Water. Water is sacred. I remember visiting a Catholic church for the first time and noticing the small basin of water in the entryway. Holy water. This is sacred. I thought it must have been very conflicting for Native peoples as the Europeans arrived to observe how they built their towns on the waterways and dumped their waste into the rivers. But the water they reserved in the little basin in the church was still sacred. It appeared their daily activities and business practices didn't recognize water's sacredness outside the church. I was invited to speak at a high school science class. They were studying ethnobotany, and the teacher wanted me to share plant medicine, provide a Native American perspective on plants. As I walked into the classroom, I noticed two different mobiles hanging from the ceiling. One was labeled animate, the other inanimate. The animate mobile had pictures cut from magazines of puppies, children, an elderly couple holding hands. Interestingly, the inanimate mobile had pictures of a waterfall, Mount Hood, cedar trees, a meadow, and large rocks. I thought, in Western culture, the human and his domesticated animals are animate, alive. The rest is inanimate, without feeling, power, or spirit. In Native culture, It is the waterfalls, rivers, trees, mountains, rocks that are most sacred, most revered. Living long lives and serving as repositories of great wisdom, they have the most to teach us. And so that inspired my talk with the students. The two mobiles hanging there side by side served as a beautiful metaphor for seeing the world from two different perspectives. The students began to understand that if viewed as an inanimate thing, devoid of sacred relationships, it was easier to treat rivers and lakes, trees and mountains poorly. Mighty rivers from the Missouri to the Columbia were home to thousands of people. With westward expansion, in time, the rivers came to represent cheap electricity for growing communities. The dams built along these and other rivers would decimate native fish populations and the healthy traditional food staple of native peoples. Today, more people are making the connection that the health of the people is directly tied to the health of all water. Native and non-native people are working together to restore these precious lakes, rivers, and streams, and the gift of water to forgive, heal, and transform continues.
Educator, writer, and herbalist, Judy Bluehorse Skelton is Nez Perce, Chickasaw, and Cherokee. She lives and works in Portland, Oregon.
Search myself among the room.